content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the May 2018 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We're going to begin with hockey. Beyond the borders with the Vegas Golden Knights. What does a typical game day look like for an NHL franchise? We went behind the scenes with the Golden Knights on March 16th. Vegas may have lost to the Minnesota Wild, but 10 days later, the Knights clinched a playoff berth, becoming the first NHL expansion team to make the postseason since 1979-1980. Number one, head-to-head. Left wing David Perron, one of 17 Golden Knights who hail from Canada, took a face-off against the Wild. Minnesota won 4-2 to sweep the regular season series 3-0. Number two, stretch it out. Morning skate takes place at City National Arena, a 20-minute drive from T-Mobile Arena where the Knights play their home games. Practice at City National is open to the public and free. Number three, selfie time. Players interact with fans when they come off the ice after morning skate, stopping to pause for photographs and to sign autographs. Gotta keep that super awesome goalie mask on, Marc-Andre Fleury. Number four, sweet ride. When he played minor league hockey in Oklahoma City, Brad Hunt met Chase Buell, a young fan with Down syndrome. The two keep in touch, and Buell's family drove to Vegas for a visit. Number five, pick a stick. Players bring multiple sticks to each game, just in case they break. Staffers transport some of these sticks from City National to T-Mobile and also pack them up for road trips. Number six, good sport. All around the world, hockey players kill time before games by playing soccer. Left wing Thomas Tatar of Slovakia with the ball has a picture of him juggling the ball with his right foot, and his teammates gather near the back entrance to T-Mobile about 3 hours before the game to loosen up their muscles. Number seven, leg up. Players also find their own spots to stretch. Defenseman Braden McNabb was in the perfect place in case he got thirsty, and he's right near the Coke machine. Number eight, blades for glory. Sharp skates allow players to move with ease and speed. Before each game, the equipment staff sharpens the blades on players' skates. The process takes 5 to 7 minutes per pair. Number nine, knight's armor. By 3.5 hours before game time, 4 members of the equipment staff have set out the players' uniforms, complete with shoulder pads, helmets, and skates, at their dressing areas in the T-Mobile locker room. Number 10, resurfaced areas. The ice crew at the T-Mobile uses 2 Zamboni machines to prepare the ink, the rink, and smooth the ice before games and in between periods. Working together, the crew can get the job done in 6 minutes. Number 11, skaters in waiting. Jonathan Marchessault, number 81, and William Carlson, 71, who play on the team's first line, got ready for their shift. Marchessault was leading the Knights in points, 65, and Carlson was the first in goals, 36. Moving on, artist Q&A, posting up. We asked pop artist Dave Clock to draw concert posters for 3 May Major League Baseball matchups. The Los Angeles Kings hired artist Dave Clock to design a collectible poster below for fans attending a January 15 game at the Staples Center, an assignment the hockey fan described as his dream gig. We asked him to dream up a few more for 3 upcoming Major League Baseball games. As Clock was putting the finishing touches on his work, he starts with a pencil, then goes over everything with ink, and finally adds color. He answered a few questions about illustrated sports and what to know if you're thinking of submitting a drawing for the SI Kids Art Gallery page. Question: were you surprised that a team would think to use this style of art to promote a game? Answer: well, it wasn't surprising because interesting is interesting. Cool is cool. It's a great thing to combine art with anything. If you like it outside of sports, there's no reason you can't combine them. So I was saying, hey, we'll do posters that look like they could be concert posters. But instead of two heading bands, it's two teams. Question: you are busy drawing these Major League Baseball posters for us as we speak. Are your hands cramping? Yes. The way I describe the pain I get when I draw too much is that it feels like there's a small sun inside of my palm, and the heat can't escape. So when I look at my hand, I can't believe it looks normal because it feels like it's glowing. And final question: you've looked at submissions to the SI Kids Art Gallery page. Do you have any advice as to how our readers can improve their drawing skills? These are all so much better than I could do at their ages. The difference between me and these kids is that I've been doing it longer, and that's it. Drawing is a muscle. Just like all these athletes, you work on that muscle. It's going to get stronger. You won't stop getting better if you keep drawing. If you draw a hand enough, your hand's going to learn the way to draw hands. Your hand's going to learn the way to draw noses, shoulders, feet, trees. The best way to get better at drawing is to just always be drawing. Repetition, you're not going to get worse. And here's a picture of the Diamondbacks versus the Astros. And the Astros in an aeronautical suit holding a snake. Chase Field, May 4th, 2018. And at the top here is the Cubs versus the Cardinals, May 4th, 5th, and 6th. Shows the Cardinals with the baseball and the little blue bear. Pirates and Giants, May 11th, 12th, and 13th, PNC Park. Branching out. We charted the present-day relevance of three famous trades. Every team wants to make a good trade. Getting the better end of a deal can push a franchise from being a contender to winning a championship, or it can set up a club for years to come with an exciting young nucleus. The very best trades, however, are the ones that lead to even more positive moves. The ability to convert previously acquired players and draft picks into even more assets can have a snowball effect on a team. Charting these chain reactions creates something that looks a lot like a family tree. Famous Expos. Montreal went for it. Facing potential contraction or relocation in the offseason, the 41-36 Expos acquired Cleveland A's Bartolo Colon at the 2002 trade deadline. Colon pitched well, going 10-4 down the stretch, but the Expos missed the playoffs anyway. The Indians, meanwhile, acquired three prospects, Brandon Phillips, Grady Sizemore, and Cliff Lee, who would appear in a combined 10 All-Star games. Bartolo Colon, the pitcher. Brandon Phillips, second baseman. Grady Sizemore, outfielder. Since Phillips became a great player elsewhere and Lee took time to emerge, Sizemore was the jewel of the Colon Hall. He blossomed in Cleveland as a true five-tool superstar. He won gold gloves in center field, walked 100 times in a single season, and joined the 30-30 club. Knee and back injuries, however, derailed his career. Lee Stevens, first baseman, outfielder. Lee had an up-and-down career in Cleveland before winning the Cy Young Award at age 29 in 2008. The next year, the Indians flipped him to the Phillies at the trade deadline. Cliff Lee, starting pitcher, to the Philadelphia Phillies for Ben Francisco, outfielder, also included in the trade. Brandon Phillips, second baseman, to Cincinnati for Reds Jeff Stevens relief pitcher. Also included in the trade, Chris Archer, starting pitcher, John Gaub, relief pitcher, to Chicago Cubs for Mark DeRosa, infielder / outfielder, to the St. Louis Cardinals for Jess Todd, relief pitcher, and Chris Perez. Then there's Jason Knapp, starting pitcher, Carlos Carrasco, starting pitcher, Jason Donald, infielder, Lou Marsh, catcher. For a while, it seemed as if none of the prospects the Indians received from the Phillies for Lee would pan out. Just 5 years after the trade, Marson and Donald were out of the majors. Knapp never made it, and Carrasco left had been disastrous in his 2013 return from Tommy John surgery. In 2014, however, Carrasco would break out, posting a 2.55 ERA and 140 strikeouts while splitting time between relieving and starting. Since then, he'd been one of the best pitchers in baseball, finishing fourth in Cy Young voting last season. Mo's money, no problem. In February 2011, the Clippers were looking for to clear some salary. The Cavaliers had cap space to spare. It was a perfect fit. Los Angeles sent Baron Davis, who had a $28 million left on his deal, and got Mo Williams, who was owed just $9.3 million. For doing L.A. the favor of taking Davis's contract, Cleveland got an unprotected 2011 first-round pick. Unfortunately for the Clippers, that pick turned out to be the first overall selection. Jamario Brown, small forward, Mo Williams, point guard. To Los Angeles Clippers for Baron Davis, point guard, and 2011 unprotected first-round pick, drafted. With the number one overall pick they got from Los Angeles, the Cavs selected Irving from Duke. He would go on to win Rookie of the Year and appear in four All-Star games in 6 years in Cleveland. He most famously hit the title-clinching shot in Game 7 of the 2016 Finals. In 2017, however, Irving demanded a trade. The Cavs obliged by sending him to the Celtics for three players and two draft picks. The draft picks, Isaiah Thomas, point guard, Jay Crowder, small forward, Ante Zizek, center, 2018 first-round pick, and 2020 second-round pick. Four, Channing Frye, the center, also included in the trade, to Los Angeles for Jordan Clarkson, shooting guard, Larry Nance, Jr., center, in a three-man trade. The true value of the return of the Cavs got for Irving will depend on whom they select with the Brooklyn's 2018 first-round pick, which the Celtics had previously acquired in 2013. The two veterans, Cleveland got Thomas and Crowder, were both shipped out when the team completely overhauled its roster at the 2018 trade deadline. They got Rodney Hood, shooting guard, and George Hill, point guard. Rich Get Richards. In 2011, Philadelphia decided to shake up its roster. The Flyers traded their top two centers, Mike Richards and Jeff Carter, to the Kings and Blue Jackets, respectively. While Los Angeles would soon reunite Carter and Richards and win the Stanley Cup, Philadelphia pulled in a great haul. Here's what they got for Richards. Mike Richards, center, to Los Angeles Kings for Braden Schimm, center, 2012 second-round pick, Wayne Simmons, right wing, to St. Louis Blues for Jory Laterra, 2017 first-round pick, 2018 conditional first-round pick, drafted Morgan Frost, the center, to Dallas Stars for Nicholas Grossman, defenseman, to Arizona Coyotes for 2016 fourth-round pick. Also, Sam Gagner, center, to New York Islanders for the 2017 fourth-round pick, to Arizona Coyotes for 2017 second-round pick, drafted Isaac Ratcliffe, left wing. While Shen was the big get in the Richards trade, Simons has provided the Flyers even more value. After averaging just 31 points per season in his 3 years in L.A., Simons had become a perennial 50-point player in Philly and has even reached the 60 plateau twice. The gritty and versatile winger has played everywhere up and down the Flyers lineup in seven seasons. The Flyers did not draft anyone with the second-round pick they got for Richards. They traded it for Grossman, whom they then swapped for Gagner and a 2016 draft pick, which they flipped to the Islanders for a 2017 draft pick. Then that pick got traded in a much bigger swap with the five draft selections. Finally, the Flyers actually drafted a player in 2017 when they picked Ratcliffe out of the OHL. The Dame is afoot. Picture here of two professional basketball players, one going up for the layup, another looking to prevent him. From Damian Lillard to Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry to Russell Westbrook, the virtuoso point guard who front the modern NBA wrestle with the common existential crisis, they are wired to score, yet their position demands that they share. When Portland drafted Lillard in 2012, coaches referred to him as a scoring guard. Lillard was more sniper than playmaker, but at 6'3", he had the look and the personality of a point. In his first season with the Blazers, he overheard one of the veterans disparaging a rookie at practice. "Haven't you seen my campaign?" asked Lillard, who had recently launched the anti-bullying program, Respect. "You can't talk about people like that." Lillard pored over old videos of John Stockton and Karl Malone, hoping to replicate their pick-and-roll harmony with all-star teammate LaMarcus Aldridge. "How did those guys get so close to the basket?" he wondered. Lillard and Aldridge formed a successful partnership, one that started and ended with the pocket pass. They did not clash, but they also did not mesh. The league is filled with explosive scores, but not many can take over a game like Damian Lillard, the point guard and social director who has the Blazers looking dangerous. "We didn't have the kind of relationship where we talked or went to dinner," said Lillard, "and maybe he would have stayed if we had." Lillard emerged convinced that teammates need to be friends, as they were in high school and college, rather than associates. He yearns to know families, hometowns, off-court interests. When general manager Neil Oshley overhauled Portland's roster in the summer of 2015, he targeted players in the same age bracket as Lillard, who might relate to an unheralded recruit out of Weber State. Unleashing his inner social chair, Lillard planned a week-long retreat to San Diego with beach barbecues, Padres games, and touch football showdowns. "I was all over it," Lillard recalls. "I was so hands-on about being the leader." The Blazers tell stories about Lillard, road trip dinners with everybody on the team, post-game debriefs with forward Ed Davis, post-practice pedicures with guard C.J. McCollum. The guards watch their minutes together on an iPad. When he isn't hooping or recording rap albums, Dame Dalla seems to mimic the lifestyle of a Lake Oswego soccer mom. He swims at a local fitness center, takes hot yoga with assistant coach David Vanderpool, and hikes Angel's Rest with trainer Ben Kenyon. "I've been in places with superstars who don't talk to the 15th guy," David says. "If you walked in our locker room and didn't know who made what, you wouldn't be able to tell he makes the most money." Dame carries himself like one of us. In his first season without Aldridge, Lillard grew weary of his own voice and feared others felt the same. But most Blazers were new to the organization and hesitant, searching for their place in the league. They followed Lillard to the practice facility and didn't leave, prompting coach Terry Stotts to impose the blackout dates so his assistants could preserve off days. "Still, somebody will call because he wants to shoot," Vanderpool laughs. "What are you going to do? Tell him you're busy?" The results have been evident all season. Portland won 13 in a row from Valentine's Day through March 18th, solidifying the Blazers' grasp of the number 3 seed in the West. McCollum has morphed from sidekick to co-star. Mo Harkless, who has shot 17.9% from the three-point range in his last season in Orlando, is currently a 41.5%. The 6'9" Al Farouk Chifaminu, who shot 27.4% from three in the last season in Dallas, is up to 38.2%, while defending Anthony Davis, Chris Paul, and everybody in between. Center Justyve Nurkić, after averaging 7.5 for the Nuggets, has chipped in 14.5 for the Blazers since he was acquired at last season's trade deadline. Lillard witnessed the evolution and turbocharged it, recognizing that the most effective way to empower NBA players is with the ball. Dame's ability to score is second to none, center Myers Leonard says. He can always go get us a bucket, but some of our other guys rely on him to get in the flow of the game. The step he's made is understanding. Okay, I can probably create something pretty good for myself right now, but what if I get downhill and two defenders come and I throw behind to Mo or Chief? Players need to touch the ball. They need to feel involved. They'll play harder and communicate better and be away more likely to get a block on the other end. That's how you lead, how you win. Drive and kick trumps Manny Petty. Lillard's line, 26.6 points, 6.6 assists, 43.9% shooting, 36.4% from deep, has not deviated much in this, the best season of his career. But the impact is different, he clarifies. First quarter, I might call a play where I'm coming off a ball screen just to see what kind of coverage they start in. Is he showing? Is he going to be back? Are they trapping me? Who is helping on the weak side? I'm like, CJ, you go be in the opposite corner, because that's where they're sending the help on you. When Nurk is diving, you might have a three. And if you hit a three, how they try to get back to you, you and I can no look Nurk for a dunk. Then the bigs are going to be worried about Nurk, and the weak side won't want to help, so I can turn the corner. An uprising in the first quarter, he had discovered, is not as meaningful as one in the fourth. When Dame time, as his outbursts are called, comes early, opponents have to send traps and doubles, and Lillard is forced to dump off. But when he establishes teammates at the outset, he can find a rhythm and he can soften the defense for later. There's also a big psychological difference for those role players between getting the ball because your franchise player chooses to give it to you, says a Blazers official, and getting it because he has to get it out of his hands. After a loss at Philadelphia on November 22nd, Harkless told NBC Sports Northwest, "I feel like I'm just out there, running back." Lillard brainstormed ways he could reincorporate a marginalized teammate. The difference between Dame and a lot of the scorers is he actually cares how the other guys feel, Vanderpool says. Watch him. He'll drive down the slot so the big has to come over and help, which means Mo's man has to crack down on our big, which means Mo is open. That's creating a shot on purpose for someone you care about. End zone. What's the call? A score to settle. The Riverdale Bulldogs are playing the Greendale Cats in baseball under Major League Baseball rules. You're the official scorer. During the second inning, Riverdale shortstop Archie Letterman comes to bat with a man on first base and no outs. Letterman hits a line drive that falls in front of Greendale right fielder Reggie Green. The runner on first rounds second and tries to advance to third base. Letterman originally holds up at first, but when Green throws to third in an attempt to get the lead runner, Letterman successfully advances to second. The next day, he reads the newspaper and notices you awarded him a single despite his reaching second base. He calls you to complain. Did you get it wrong? Do 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 do. What's the call? No, you were right. Letterman only gets credit for the single. He advanced to the second base on the throw. Next, one-man band. In a basketball game between the Kodiak Bears and the Fairbanks Geese played under NBA rules, Bears guard Mario Hendricks gets the ball behind the three-point arc. As he shoots the ball, it slips slightly. Knowing he's thrown up an air ball, Hendricks runs into the paint where he catches his own shot and puts it in for a two-pointer. The Geese complain, claiming Hendricks can't catch his own shot. You're the referee. Does the basket count? Do 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 do. Answer: the basket does not count. A player who has attempted a field goal may not be the first to touch the ball if it hasn't touched the backboard, the basket, or another player. And finally, crash and burn. The Scottsdale Sweepers and Charlotte Chuckers are facing off in a curling match. The Chuckers are guiding a stone inside the house, the circles at the end of the playing surface, when one of their brooms accidentally nudges it. Sweepers skip. Jane Larson chooses to remove the burned rock from play. The Chuckers are not happy. Did Larson follow the rules? Do 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 do. Yes, Larson followed the rules. Though an unusual move, an opposing player may remove a burned stone, one in motion touched by a player, or any part of a player's equipment. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138.